From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect. Your input on today's topic is important to us. Join in the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE. ABQ Connect.
Here we go, midweek. It's Wednesday. Hey, remember, tonight, live from Calvary Church, which, by the way, that is the campus that we are broadcasting from. We'll hear the service live with Pastor Skip Heitzig tonight. Tune in for that at 7. Service starts at 6:30 if you want to be in the sanctuary. And, of course, that's at 4001 Osuna Road Northeast. Tomorrow on ABQ Connect, we'll spend time with Dr. Robert Jeffress talking about his latest book and the ministry of Pathway to Victory. Also, an update from Reload Love as they prepare for a Love Bomb, the Love Bomb weekend happening February 11th and 12th, preparing to feed children in Ukraine and Uganda every day for an entire year. That's 514,000 meals. Find the details about that at reloadlove.com. Our first guest today, we welcome on to ABQ Connect, I believe for the first time, Pastor Philip DeCourcy. He's an author, a senior pastor. We're going to be talking about his book, by the way, his new book, Contentment Has Spelled Out. He's a senior pastor at Kindred Community Church in Anaheim Hills, California. And he also is heard here on KLYT, the teaching ministry, Know the Truth. And we'll talk about all of those various ministries. But first, Pastor Philip, welcome to ABQ Connect.
Steve, thank you for your kind words. It's a joy to connect with you for the first time on the audience at KYLT. Certainly appreciate the partnership and the gospel.
Absolutely. Likewise. And actually, I need to tell you, I was curious because, you know, I've spent a lot of time in Southern California since I was very little. We lived in Riverside, actually Sunnymead, which doesn't, I don't even think it exists anymore. but I was curious, you know, Anaheim Hills, I've imagined it was near Anaheim, and I actually visited your campus via Google today. What a beautiful campus.
Yeah, Steve, it's an unusual campus, but very pretty, strategically set just beside the 91 freeway, affectionately known as the Devil's Highway. It's just a crazy busy place, but you may know this, or you may remember, if you've ever traveled east on the 91, kind of leaving Anaheim Hills, Yorba Linda, out towards Corona,
right?
There's a cross that's lit up on a hill there that's been there for decades, and that's actually our church property. And we have a saying: if you've seen the cross, come visit the church. And the campus is beautiful. It's on three tiers. We've got a beautiful vista to look at. We have a hill that we have a sunrise service every Easter Sunday morning, which is just special. It's become a very wonderful tradition here in North Orange County. And we're in the throes of a $12 million just remodel of all that we have, just seeking to be, you know, have facilities that are inviting and functional for the proclamation of the gospel, and a place where lives can be transformed by God's grace and the love of God in Christ.
Yeah, you know, I watch the news daily, and I have to be transparent. You know, not a lot of good news coming out of California, but it's good to see the good news is being delivered to Southern California in a place that, well, you know, every place needs it, Pastor, but we're glad that you're there. And I do want to start the first segment talking about actually your work as an author. Contentment Spelled Out. Am I correct? Is that your latest work?
Yes. I mean, leaders are readers and readers are leaders. And, you know, this is just an extension of our pulpit, just as our radio ministry is. Putting some of the material into books, both booklets and books. We've written several and published several. We just want to get God's word out. KTT is all about bringing the gospel to a world in need of truth. And this latest little booklet is, I think, very helpful. We've taken the word content and used that as an acrostic for several truths that will help God's people find contentment. There's a lot of discontentment in our world and in hearts, and that's certainly not a state of affairs that ought to mark the child of God who is you know, has all the riches of Christ, who has all the promises of God's word, who's got the hope of heaven and eternal reward. So we've just tried to address that issue, Steve. You know, J.C. Ryle, an old bishop in the Church of England, said that, you know, it's a rare sight is to find a young wise man, and a rarer sight is to find an old content man. And we want to just breed a greater sense of contentment, right? Philippians 4 tells us, in whatever circumstance you're in, be content. First Timothy 6, you know, contentment with you know, godliness is great gain. And, you know, we live in a culture that, from advertisements to, you know, magazines to billboards to social media, we can't go on, but an advertisement pops up. You know, these hidden persuaders trying to egg us on and bait us to another purchase that ultimately doesn't satisfy anybody, because contentment's an inside job, Steve.
Yeah, and clearly, as you've already made known to the listener, contentment spelled out, this latest booklet, is covering the dangers of dissatisfaction. It actually, Pastor, if you don't mind me giving you a quick testimony, one of the things that in recent last 10 years history, maybe 9 or 10 years ago, I had an opportunity. I wanted to go to Israel, which obviously many of us want. But, you know, raising several kids and working in the ministry, you know, I didn't know how, you know, what kind of resources I'd have to be able to do that. And I was kind of bummed out, maybe a little dissatisfied in not being, you know, our pastor, Skip Heitzig, was preparing to go. I wanted to go with Skip. And you know, I don't know if it was the Spirit or working in me, but I remember getting to a point where I was like, you know what, Steve, you're going to go. It might be remodeled by the time you get there, and it's the New Jerusalem, but you're gonna go. And you know what? As soon as my heart was content, my mom approached me and said, "Hey, I'd really like to go to Israel with Pastor Skip. Your dad doesn't want to go, but I'd like some. Would you go with me if I paid for you to go?" And well, there you go. I haven't had a chance to peruse the book, but I'm looking forward to seeing those practical paths to biblical contentment that we're sure to find, of course, through Christ.
Yeah, and look, you know, it is a battle. I mean, it's okay to desire. It's okay to wish. It's okay to dream. But contentment is an inordinate desire for something God hasn't given or God will not give. And I think that's the difference. And we've got to wrestle with it. It's something we don't confess too easily. Steve, I'll guarantee you, you know, not too many people have come on your radio show or on to some of the broadcaster at KYLT and admitted the problem is greed or covetousness. In fact, T.H. Spurgeon said that in his whole lifetime as a pastor, no one ever confessed greed and covetousness. But it is, it's something we need to wrestle with. If you really think about it, covetousness is what the heart of the original sin. It was coveting something God had forbidden. It was coveting something God hadn't given. And so it's an ugly sin. It's an original sin. It's forbidden in the Ten Commandments. And Jesus tells us in Luke 12, verse 15, beware of covetousness. And you know, quickly, Steve, look, it does several things, and I touch on this more deeply in the book, but it dishonors God. When we're covetous, when we're upset, when we're not satisfied with what we are, who we are, where we are, We're questioning God's providence, and we're also sending a message to the world that God is not sufficient in and of himself, that the material is better than the spiritual. And I think it not only dishonors, it depreciates. It depreciates life down to the material. And you know, we mustn't do that as Christians. The most important things are the things that money cannot buy and death cannot steal. It also depresses. I've never met a happy, covetous man. Just look at King Ahab. With all that he had, he wanted Nadab's vineyard. And he pouted. He went to bed, threw the clothes over his head, and looked at the wall. And it also destroys. You know, Psalm 27, verse 4 tells us that the envious heart or the covetous heart is a flood. And floods are destructive. And when you and I get seized by a spirit of covetousness, it destroys our ability to worship God. It has us focused on the material and not the spiritual. It robs us of eternal reward, and it's a terrible testimony to a world that lives for this stuff, the things of this world. But we love the Father and not the things of this world. And so, you know, that's just kind of the porch into the little booklet. But just remind them to say, take covetousness seriously. It's the original sin. It dishonors, depreciates, depresses, and destroys, and we need to repent of it.
Well, Pastor, I'm looking for words of encouragement, and we're getting them for our listeners, and I'm not sure it's covered in this new book, but, you know, in the world we're living in and the things we see on the news, anxiety seems to be on the rise. And would we find the way we're finding the practical path to biblical contentment through this contentment spelled out, would we find a help to deal with anxiety as well?
Absolutely. You know, we've just diagnosed the problem, right? Which is never fun, but we want to write a prescription for happiness and for spiritual health. And look, anxiety and covetousness are kind of twins, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know, because a covetous heart is an anxious heart. It's unhappy. It wants you know. And look, what I do quickly, I spell this out, and I'll give you the outline, and we can drill down to whatever time's left or whatever you want. But I called it contentment spelled out because I use the tool of an acrostic, where I take the word content and I attach certain thoughts. So the letter C stands for cherish Christ. If you want to deal with contentment, just realize you have all that you need and all that you will ultimately want in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the pearl of great price. God can't give us any more than when he gave us his son. The second letter is O, offer thanks. One of the best ways to deal with covetousness is to appreciate what you have, to give thanks to God for the least. In fact, contentment's based on food and clothing, and certainly here in the United States, we have that in a measure and an abundance. So we can offer thanks. And as we offer thanks and give thanks to God for things he has given, and realizing we're sinners not deserving of his grace, we are always abundantly thankful that we have what we have. And stands for nurture love. 1 Corinthians 13 tells us that love does not envy. And if you and I nurture love and a love that's based on the cross, Steve, and pattern after Jesus Christ, we won't covet what our neighbor has. We won't want what they have. We won't desire them not to have it if we don't have it. Because love wants the best for the other person. Love is selfless. T stands for tithes and some more. 1 Timothy 6 says, look, to those that are rich, and talks about how the pursuit of riches and the love of money and covetousness can pierce the heart and plunge the Christian into sadness. The Christian there is told to be generous, you know, to be rich in good works to those who are in need. And so when we tithe and give, it kind of breaks the bondage of covetousness. It produces within us a heart patterned after God's grace and a giving heart. E is embrace providence. I mean, when you and I accept the sovereignty of God, that we're born a certain way, with certain looks, with certain hair colors, in certain cities, like, now that doesn't mean we can't aspire to be better and move on from a given situation, but for given periods of our life, Steve, where we are and what we have and what we are is God's doing. And we need to embrace the providence of God and be content that God knows what he's doing. I mean, if you read the story of Amy Carmichael, who came from the city I grew up in, Belfast, when she was a little girl, she wanted blue eyes. And she was unhappy that God had given her brown eyes. But later on, when she goes to India as a missionary, her brown eyes fitted culturally. God knew what he was doing. Mm. When we're bellyaching and when we're grumbling about situations we're in or things we have or our looks, we don't realize the wisdom of God. And next, ungodly desires. There's two ways, you know, to become to have more, and that is to accumulate or to desire less. And the Bible encourages us to live within certain lifestyles, to have a kind of wartime mentality where we nix this kind of ungodly desire for more and more and more, which is just this dead-end street. And then the final T is take the long view, Steve. I mean, what we don't have or what we give up for God's kingdom, we will be rewarded in the life to come. And covetousness is a perspective on life that's lost an eternal perspective. So that's the outline. Maybe that's enough, or if you want to drill down into some of that. But that's contentment spelled out. Cherish Christ, offer thanks, nurture love, tithe and some more, embrace providence, nix ungodly desires, and take the long view. Does that make sense?
It absolutely does, Pastor. And I'm going to guess for the listeners that want to find out more about contentment spelled out, they'll find the details at kindredchurch.org or at ktt.org as well. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, kindredchurch.org, but probably better go to ktt.org, which is our radio ministry and broadcast ministry, and the details are there. Drop a note and find out how you can get a copy of that. It's a little booklet. It's a good read. It's only about 50 pages long. There's several chapters in it, so you can pick it up and set it down, leave it on your bedside cabinet, throw it in your bag to go to work or in your backpack. But be working on this. Hey, we can be content in whatever circumstances we're in because we're in Christ. There's an old statement, Steve. If our circumstances find us in God, we'll find God in our circumstances. And we can do the circumstances that God has put us into. I think we often, take that verse out of context. I can do all things through Christ. And you'll see it on the shirts of athletes and sports personalities. And the all things there of verse 13 are the all things of verses 11 and 12. In whatsoever situation God has put you in, whether up or down, full or empty, in all of those various circumstances, we can live victoriously. We can live peacefully because Christ strengthens us. In fact, Steve, most people don't realize the word contentment is a Greek word that means sufficient. So if Christ is sufficient, we're sufficient for all the circumstances we're in. I think it was Warren Wiersbe did a wonderful play on words where he said, contentment is containment. Huh. If we have Christ within and he's everything we need, then contained within and with him, we have all that we need, regardless of whether it's a party or a funeral, whether we've got a job or we don't have a job, whether we're in health or we're in sickness, whatever moment we're in, Christ is in that moment with us. And with him, there is contained all that we need to live victoriously. I love that. Contentment through containment because Christ is sufficient.
Well, already we've got some great encouragement and insight from Pastor Philip Corsi. He's the senior pastor at Kindred Community Church in Anaheim Hills. And, of course, he's heard all over the United States and around the world on Know the Truth, the radio ministry of Pastor Philip DeCourcy. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to find out more about what's happening at Kindred Community Church, as well as Know the Truth, and some resources that are available to you, as well as the new book, Contentment Spelled Out. That's coming up after the break on ABQ Connect.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect. There's still time to join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE. ABQ Connect.
So glad you tuned in today to hear from Pastor Philip DeCourcy, our first guest on ABQ Connect. We already spent some time talking about his latest project, Contentment Spelled Out. And Pastor, I wanted to kind of give you the landscape. I don't know how many times you've ever been through New Mexico, but we are located in Albuquerque and broadcast to Albuquerque, Santa Fe, central New Mexico, and then through translators to Cannon Air Force Base near Clovis. We're on in Portales, Las Cruces, and, of course, online at klyt.fm. But our listeners can tune in to hear Know the Truth daily on KLYT. And you can find the complete schedule on the website, klyt.fm. Pastor, I wanted to talk a little bit about your home ministry there in Anaheim Hills, California. We did at the top of the hour geographically a little bit, but Kindred Community Church nestled in up against the foothills there. The website is kindredchurch.org, and like many churches, sermons, you know, archives sermons are available. You can listen live to the church services. Coming out of the pandemic, Pastor Philip, what have you seen? Well, let me ask you, what have you seen as we've come out of the pandemic, as far as people showing up at church, or if they continue to watch online? What's your experience?
Yeah, it's a great question. By the way, I have been through, you know, New Mexico once or twice. Some years ago, I flew into Albuquerque, and I was involved in a ministry at Santa Fe, a beautiful state, and I look forward to getting back sometime. In fact, in God's kindness, several years ago, I had dinner with your pastor, Skip Heitzig, here in Southern California. I was at a meeting with him and out at Harvest with Greg Laurie, and we ended up doing dinner down at Newport Beach, and I found Skip just a wonderful kind host, and whose books and ministry I've benefited from. In terms of Kindred Community Church, you know what? I'm going to be honest. I don't want to, you know, oversell this, Steve, but we went through the pandemic and never skipped a beat. We locked down initially here in California, like everyone else, you know, weren't sure what this whole thing was, and out of love for neighbor and out of caution and prudence, we locked down. But, you know, before long, within a few months, actually, we were beginning to just smell a political rot. We saw our governor here in California overplay his hand, acting like God, telling the church that they were non-essential, picking winners and losers politically. You know, Walmart was open, Targ was open, abortion clinics were open, pot shops were open. But you know what? The church had to lie low. You could meet with 100 people or whatever it was at the time that the goalpost changed. And we locked down for a few months, did some online stuff. But before long, to be honest, you know, living here in California, you know, we realized, hey, this is government overreach. We're constantly dealing with it. You know, Christ is the head of the church. We also, you know, tend to abuse it. But, you know, different people would find different levels of comfortability with their own conscience regards to the, you know, the vaccine and what they wanted to do. But very shortly, along with, you know, Jack Hibbs, Joe MacArthur, we were kind of in that stream. Our church went back in defiance, you know, of you know, the dictates of Sacramento and Newsom. I mean, to be honest, too, in Orange County, you know, it was a little bit less, you know, confining. We're thankful for that. But as a church leadership, we realized that we're going to constantly fight the interface between government authority and church authority. And we certainly want to, you know, fulfill Romans 13 and obey the government where that is necessary and right. But for us, we came to the view that this was government overreach. The church needed to gather. You know, they were picking winners and losers. And at the end of the day, we realized that, you know, the church is under the lordship of Christ and his headship. And so, Steve, we came back pretty early. I think within 3 to 4 months, we were back with about 90% of our congregation meeting in person. We did give an option of a tent and distancing for those that wanted to be masked. But about 80% of our people were back in the auditorium without masks, worshiping. And you know, there was an element of defiance in that, but more than that, it was devotion to Christ, the need to be back together, to be under the preaching of the word, media, you know, technology, thankful for the tools, Steve, but it's not the same as in person. You know, you read the letters of Paul or John, they always talk about, you know, we can't wait to see you face to face. And so we realized here in California, too, given just where the moral landscape is, there's always going to be government overreach. And to be honest, Steve, we made that decision also to kind of train our people to be courageous, to realize there will be times when we have to defy the government and oppose the standards of behavior or state morality that's immorality. And so, you know, we come out of it strong. Now, in the middle of that, we probably saw 200 to 300 people and children leave our church and leave the state of California that had enough.
Yeah.
And that's a challenge being a pastor here. You may as well put a revolving door on the front. But on the other hand, we picked up a lot of people, you know, I want to grow by birth and I want to grow through conversion, but we picked up a lot of people were exiting churches where leadership was weak, where clarion call was missing, where boldness in preaching and a public stance was missing. So for us, Steve, we come out pretty good. We're back up to full numbers and moving ahead, and we're doing a $12 million refit of our property. We're preaching the word. We're seeing people saved and baptized, and we're discipling the church. The church needs to be the church in the community, and we need to get back to, you know what, recognizing that Christ tells the church what to do, not a governor, not circumstances. And certainly as we went through that pandemic, we all saw there was a lot of inconsistency. And at that point in leaders at the church, we needed to take our destiny back into our own hands.
Well, and I appreciate your leadership through that. Actually, as you started off, I was thinking to myself, he's sounding a lot like Jack Hibbs. I like this guy.
Jack is literally about 15, 20 minutes east of us, a little northeast of us. Chino Hills and Anaheim Hills kind of run up. Jack's a good brother. I've had dinner with him. We've preached at a conference together. And Jack certainly, you know, led a charge there, but we kind of weren't that far behind.
Yeah.
We weren't maybe as public as he was. And, you know, but it's not just California, Steve. It's the culture is closing in.
Yeah.
And it's going to take, I'm in a series with our men at the moment at our church called Profiles in Courage. These are days when we need strong men and courageous Christians because, you know, we're moving sadly towards a kind of post-Christian culture. The imprint of the church is shrinking, but that doesn't mean our voice can't be loud and our desires for God can't be big and pray for us out here in the Loony Left Coast. It is a beautiful place to live, and not everybody can afford it. But I remind that our people were here. I mean, the light's for the darkness, the salt's for the putrefaction. We can't all just leave for greener pastures. And frankly, just getting reports from young couples that have moved all across the country, it's not all ideal. Even in more conservative states, there's a lot of things to deal with, even in Texas or Tennessee. So there's no perfect circumstance, but Christ makes us sufficient even to live here in California.
Amen.
The sunshine's hard to beat.
As I've already said, I appreciate all the insight. And with your permission, I'm going to put a bow on this by mentioning some of the resources available out of respect for our next guest. But the campus we were just talking about, Kindred Community Church, you'll find details at kindredchurch.org, where you find sermons. And actually, Pastor, I took a peek at the blogs, read through the Second Fiddle blog that was written there, talking about harmony. Yep. And John the Baptist part as a second fiddle. Some great insight there, and there's other blogs available there. You can also watch live, as I mentioned, the current series Life Together, going through Ephesians. And the teaching ministry, Know the Truth, heard in most of the United States, and the website ktt.org will let you know as you travel where you can find Know the Truth, but the current series there, Without Apology. I'll leave it with this, Pastor. How important is it to you, as someone with a radio ministry, to hear back from the listeners to connect, which, by the way, listeners to Know the Truth can call 888-644-8811 and support the ministry and check out the resources and just let them know you're listening. But, Pastor, how important is that to you? And we'll leave with that.
Yeah, it's very important, right? You know, I don't want to. I'm not. I'm don't believe I'm preaching into a vacuum. I'm preaching into homes and hearts. And, you know, encouragement is the oxygen of the soul. So we would love anybody in the Albuquerque area or who can connect with us there in New Mexico to reach out to us. Let us know how the messages are helping you. Let our team be encouraged that your life is being encouraged and edified through this ministry. That's why we exist, to bring the gospel to a world in need of truth. And you're right, if they go to KTT.org, there's about 264 of those devotionals that we send out once a week. And I think your listeners, Steve, would greatly benefit and be greatly blessed by connecting at KTT.org and just even reading some of our truth matters. But yeah, give us some feedback. We'd love to know that what we're doing is making an impact for souls and for eternity.
All right. Well, an absolute pleasure, Pastor Philip DeCourcy. We appreciate your time and look forward to hearing more as the ministry continues. God bless you.
Thanks, Steve. God bless.
All right. Stick around. Coming up after the break, we'll catch up with Albuquerque Christian Children's Home. Find out about the ministry there, what they're doing, what the plans are for 2023, and how you can be a part of it. More details coming up after the break on ABQ Connect.